It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the time is going to wind down the clock as we got some activity. Back in the St. Louis end, the linesmen and the referees quickly get in there. And the St. Louis fans get a chance to celebrate a Stanley Cup final win. The St. Louis Blues victorious 4-2 over the Boston Bruins. And this series between these two knotted up at 2 games apiece. Game 5 heading back to TD Garden on Thursday night.
It's hour number 3, Felger Maz, 4:05 in the evening, back in Boston after 4 days in St. Louis, discussing Game 4 last night at the Enterprise Center. To me, the worst part was that not just that they got beat up, is that I think they, in a lot of cases, shied away from contact and had what I keep saying are alligator arms on a lot of those pucks and skated away from contact and refused to engage physically. As many hits as they took, 44, and there were some big ones. I mean, St. Louis really does hit.
Oh, yeah, no. They line you up and they finish them.
Oh, wow. While the Bruins still did get hit, there were so many cases where they didn't go into the corner or they didn't come down the wall or they didn't even choose to engage. They saw the big D-man coming and they laid up. And I thought that was really the case in the third period, fighting for your life, 4 shots on net. You had hardly ever got any penetration in there.
4 shots. The third period was a disaster.
So, come on. So, I thought there was a little bit of a given factor there on the Bruins, which is disappointing. But I refuse yet to believe that, and as frustrating as that was, I refuse to believe that that's now the condition of this series, that the Bruins have, you know, the Blues have gotten to them, they've beaten them down. Now they've softened them up and they're going to finish them off. Like, I don't know about that yet because, as you said, Maz, this series has simply been push-pull. The Blues have shown that when they've needed it more. They haven't shown it in those other games.
Yeah, this thing's been completely inconsistent.
And the Bruins, consequently, have, well, so, you know, like just somewhere in the way, way back of their mind, maybe they said to themselves, we did what we set out to do. We got a game here. This is where we want to be. So I'm not going to, you know, I'll go 100 miles an hour for that puck in the corner, but I'm not going 120 because we got our win. And that just sort of sets in, even at the very last, even when you only have 3 or 4 games left, it's still, that's human nature. And I think that that's set in. And that ain't good. Like, I'm not telling you, I like that. I'm going to chalk it up to that versus this, the Blues have beaten them down physically, and this is not what it's going to be. Because if that's what it's going to be, the series is over.
Well, again,
and I don't believe it is.
We could have just easily said that after Game 2, and the Bruins won Game 3, 7-2.
Exactly.
Not that it was a 7-2 game, but nonetheless, they won the game, and they looked good doing it. So I just worry about the cumulative effect of it all. That's all. And losing Chara, too. And I know that doesn't relate directly to the Blues' physicality. That's sort of a fluky thing. But I'm now worried about the manpower. That's what I'm worried about. I think the Blues are bigger, the Blues are stronger, and you just lost, you know, a 7-foot defenseman on skates who is one of your cornerstones. So I'm worried about the cumulative effect. God knows I could be wrong. Heaven knows I've been wrong a million times before. But man, we saw it in 2011, what a team like that can do to another team. Okay, so that's all. But I'm just trying to tell you what I feel. And what I feel right now is that the Blues are big and they are strong and they are mean. Does that mean they're going to beat you? I have no idea. But man, watching it again, I watched it on the plane on the way home today. Holy crap. Every chance they get to hit, they hit you. Every single chance, just about. Only when you get them on their heels a little bit do they back off, and the Bruins got to find a way to do that more frequently or they're in trouble.
They do it by skating, and they know that. You're not going to out-hit them or out-physical, and maybe you get a bigger hit number. The hits last night were 44 to 41, so it sounds like you stayed in there. Do you feel the hits were even in that game?
No.
Not even close.
And I mean, if it was 44-41, tell me what the quality of the 41 were.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel that way. That number is not indicative of how that game went. And I don't think they'll ever have the advantage in physicality. But I don't think you need it. I don't think you need it. I mean, just to your point, Maz, how many years have the Bruins had physical superiority over a team, and it's meant squat?
No, it's a good point. I just, you know, in the same breath, are they as skilled as some of the teams they lost to?
Nope. Certainly not. But by the same token, this is not the Vancouver Canucks of 2011. You're tougher than that, and you can stand in there better than they can, or you should stand in there better than they can, and now you're really going to find out. Shots were 38-23 St. Louis, and it felt like it was that bad. It felt like it was that bad. And so what I'm worried about is just the 5-on-5 stuff, which we really started to hit on yesterday. 5-on-5 now, St. Louis has, I think, clearly been the better team, but that doesn't mean it's been by a wide margin. They've outscored you 8-6, 5-on-5. They've outshot you and outchanced you. And again, the margins aren't big, but they're there. So they have clearly been slightly better than you 5-on-5. And if the officiating stays like it was last night, which is non-intrusive, sort of on the mild side, then I think you've got to really get better 5-on-5 if you're going to win the series. If the series is going to be played more 5-on-5 than it has been, and my guess is it will be, that the refs will stop buying some of these dives on both sides, that they'll put their whistles away the closer they get to clinchers, that you'll have to win more 5-on-5. You've got to get better in that regard because they've gotten the better of you 5-on-5. And the scary part there is that you're not really built 5-on-5. You haven't been a great 5-on-5 team all season long. You know, you said it got better after the trade deadline. I'll take your word for it. But statistically speaking, your 5-on-5 rankings have been mediocre, regular season and playoffs, I think. So that's a big one. They've got to get better 5-on-5. And to me, it's not matching St. Louis's physicality. It's playing through it. It's taking the hit. David Pastrnak, early in that game last night, setting a tone by laying up on Oscar Sundquist in the corner, like Doug Hamilton on Alex Ovechkin, as Tony Amonte said last night on our TV postgame. That did set tone, and I saw other guys do it. I thought it got bad, really bad late in the third period, where there was a little bit of a give-in factor that I'm not sticking my nose in there. And that's not a great sign, but I'm going to treat it as a one-off until I see them put two games together like that in a row. So there's your Bruins reset. What are your thoughts? Let's go to Andrew in Bridgewater. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. First-time caller, big fan of your show. Just quickly wanted to make two points. I agree with Maz. I think the Bruins, it felt like they were managing more of the series than really trying to put a lot of effort into that one individual game. Also, I haven't heard much about Tuukka Rask on your show today. I felt like he gave up a soft early first goal. He clearly wasn't sharp with the amount of rebounds that he gave up throughout the game.
You missed earlier. I did not like the first goal. It's not soft. That first goal wasn't soft. It doesn't rise to the level of saying that. But I don't think on that one, again, goaltenders are not supposed to allow wraparounds. It's kind of a rule. You're supposed to stop every wraparound. Pretty much 95, 99% of them. A goalie coach will probably say to the guy, no wraparounds this year. We're not going to allow a single wraparound. And I think that that's the general rule. You don't allow wraparounds. And he did. Now, the puck was deflected a little bit on the initial rebound. And it was deflected to the right, and maybe that's why he overreacted to the right, but he definitely did. He definitely got caught a little bit too far on the outside right of the post and then wasn't totally sharp getting back to the left, and he allowed a wraparound. And I think that it was less than a minute into the game, and he wasn't quite ready to go at 100 miles an hour. He was going 95, and that cost him.
And, Mike, look at some of the other chances the Blues had after that where it didn't feel like Rask was seeing the puck great.
Well, there were some tricklers.
Yes.
That just trickled right by the post. Ryan O'Reilly shorthanded on one, maybe Barbashev on another. They had a couple that were just tricklers.
Oh, yeah. One was going in. It was just a
between
really,
his pads. Yeah. Right. And that was all relatively early. The O'Reilly one, I think, was shorthanded, right?
Yes.
So, but there were, he just, I would say for the, wasn't totally dialed in early.
So, and it's just that first goal. I just think if he's 100% dialed in, amped, ready to go, full start, he gets to that post and stops the wraparound. And he didn't. So that's the one goal that bugged me. There could have been some others, you're right, but they didn't go in. So, but that's just my thought on
Rask. I don't think that he's been that 100% dialed in like he was in the Eastern Conference Finals and like he was against Columbus in this series at all. He's a tick less.
So I thought...
Throughout the whole thing.
I thought game three he was excellent.
I thought in the middle of this game he started to really find it.
And there were stretches of this game where he was... In that stretch in the second period, when they were all up in your kitchen, he was huge there.
I mean, how many shots did they have? In the middle of the game, I thought he was really good. Where it felt like they were taking all these shots that just stuck to him. They weren't coming out at all. No rebounds. He was smothering everything.
So the rebound control on that final goal, he said it. It was ladies' tees. Well, what is he supposed to do? Pietrangelo comes into the dot with a 120-mile-an-hour slap shot in the upper right-hand corner off his shoulder. Like, he ain't freaking Plastic Man. I mean... I don't blame him on that one. What are you supposed to do?
The Blues had two goals like that last night. The Tarasenko one was another one. And they were both off Pietrangelo slappers from the right side.
McAvoy was asleep on the Tarasenko one.
I look at net front coverage there a little bit too. And I don't know. Like, I'd have to go back and look at the clock. Was Chara out of the game by then? Probably, right? So like, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
When Tarasenko scored.
Yeah, the second goal.
I don't think so. Wasn't Chara, didn't he go down in the second period?
Yeah, was that in the first?
Not the first.
It was the first.
Yeah.
No, Chara went down the beginning of the second.
Yeah, the second. Yeah. He went down in the second. Tarasenko scored in the first. Don't confuse me.
Sorry.
I'm confused enough as it is. Brian in Bellingham. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, whatever siren sound you have, play it, because you got a fraud alert with you guys yesterday. The coaching of the St. Louis Blues isn't as good as the Bruins. They're going to a baseball game. They're not investing in the Cup. They're not making adjustments. The only adjustment the Blues need to make is not commit stupid penalties, and they will win the series. I want you guys to contribute something to the game. Don't tell me about the baseball game.
You know what? Just for you, I would like to run that cut again of him at the Cardinals game talking about his relatives from Moose Jaw in for the baseball game, just to piss that guy off. It's so true that if they just stay out of the box, they're so much better off. It's a pretty simple adjustment. Don't give the Bruins a chance to buy a penalty. And I'd say the same thing to the Bruins after the Blues were flopping around last night, too. That's what this stupid thing has become. And I don't mean this stupid thing. It's been a great series, but that stupid element to it that I hate.
I know. I don't like that either.
I hate that little tit-for-tat drawing penalties, bitching about the refs. I hate it. Meanwhile, the coach... Go ahead.
I had some friends in town, and I thought it'd be a good idea just to come down. And they don't get to do this every day. They're from Canada and stuff, out west. So I thought it'd be nice they could come down, can hang out a little bit, watch a Cards game.
Let's keep playing it for that guy. He's sensitive to it.
Baby.
I had some friends in town, and I thought it'd be a good idea just to come down. And they don't get to do this every day. They're from Canada. And
so
stuff.
So this I'll say for Berube, he knows the emotional pitch of his team. I mean, that takes a lot of buy. He ain't gonna last. I mean, so I'll say this, because you can't get guys to buy in at that physical pitch year after year after year.
They'll tune him out.
It's too hard. Murray didn't last in L.A. doing that. You can't. That's just asking too much of these guys. So that's going to have its shelf life. But he's got his finger on it for the time being, and he's gotten them to respond emotionally when he's needed it. And it doesn't exactly take Scotty Bowman to tell you to get out of the box against the Bruins. When the opponent goes 4-for-4 on the power play on four shots, it doesn't take much to say, let's not go to the box. And that's what he did. Master adjustment.
Oh, there. Yeah. No. What he did, too, was blame the refs for the fact that his team gave up four goals on four shots on four power plays. Like, really? Jackass. Kill a penalty, why don't you?
Back to your calls after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers Get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dunn shoots, deflected on, wrap around, they score! Brian O'Reilly.
Chara, left circle, shoots, fitting to the same rebound, they score! Charlie Coyle hammers it home.
Petrangelo shoots, rebound, they score! Tarasenko!
I think, first of all, I think we shoot the puck way more in this game, and it's playoffs, a little bit different game than regular season. You don't have, like, clear shots, and people try to block shots all the time, so to find your chances, you need to go in the red zone, like, and, you know, score some greasy goals, maybe. And
the Bruins turn it over, right circle, it's fired, blocked.
Hit Char in the face.
Oh.
The trainers come to me and said, done for the night. Question was asked, but he'd like to sit with his teammates. I'm like, if medically he's able to do that, and that's fine.
Marchand working against Dunn. Pulls it in front of his bench. Saucer to head. Bergeron far circle. Shoots. Binnington the same. Rebound. They score! Brandon Carlo shorthanded the 20th Bruin to register a goal here in the playoffs, and the Boston Bruins have tied game four at 2-2.
Ultimately, I would give that goal back if it meant a win. I don't really care to score as long as we're winning, so you know, I'm not going to say it was nice to score that goal, but I would much rather come out with a win.
Now to Petrangelo with time. Wires the shot on. Rebound, they score! Brian O'Reilly! And the Blues take the lead again!
We're just kind of, we think we're catching them in the change, and it was just quick up mindset that we kind of talked about as a team having, and yeah, just kind of try to get speed to go to the net, and obviously it was a great shot. Good bounce.
You know, clearly you can't allow the player to get it. How do you do that? Well, you either get to the puck first or you get under his stick. That's kind of your options. But we didn't arrive on time. Not much we can do about it now except learn from it. And let's do a better job next time making sure we're on time.
Jimmy Stewart's look back at game four last night. Felger Maz back in Boston. Your thoughts on the series, the game, everything else. Here's Dave in the car. What do you got, Dave?
Hey, guys, love the show. I just wanted to talk about David Pastrnak. You were absolutely right earlier when you were talking about the Bruins' lack of physicality. And I think, really, David Pastrnak is the biggest culprit. There was one play when he was down on the end boards and he was going for the puck and he senses somebody behind him and he totally just turtles. He turns the other way and the guy gets the puck and that was it.
Okay, it was 2:45 into the game, early in the game. Tony Amonte talked about it several times last night on NBC Sports Boston on the post-game show. It was Oscar Sundquist who had concussed and knocked out Matt Grizzlick in game two. He was going for a touch-up. It's not touch-up icing anymore, but he would, you know, gone into the corner after he nullified an icing. Sundquist is bearing down on him. And instead of going after the puck and taking the hit, he lays up and pretty much gives the puck up to Oscar Sundquist. Here's Tony Amonte last night on our postgame show talking about it.
Look at him. He's first to the puck. He stops, turns around, looks at Sundquist, barely takes a hit, and they take the puck away. It's just not, that's not good enough right there. That's not hockey. And that's not Bruin hockey, by the way. Rough and tumble and get in there and grit it out and grind. you're sending the St. Louis Blues a message that you don't want the puck. You're sending your teammates a message that I don't want to pay the price. When everybody's got to pay the price, if you want to win a Stanley Cup, you have to pay the price. We talked about 2011. Everyone paid the price that year for the Boston Bruins. It was a grind, but they got it done.
Okay, so to me, it's about paying the price. It's cliche, but I think that's right. It's about taking the hits, not out-hitting St. Louis, because I don't know if you'll be able to do it, but taking the hits. And Pastrnak clearly did not. It was sort of a tone setter.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's about, you know, fighting for that puck, and that means taking hits, right? Like, so, I mean, the third period last night was a joke. Third period was a joke. I mean, that thing was a complete ass-kicking in the third period last night. And so I know we've spent a lot of time on Pastrnak, and rightfully so. How do you feel about Marchand's game?
Ah, how about no shots in 2045 of ice time?
No shots on goal.
No shots on net, I should say. That's right.
No shots on goal.
There was one in particular, too, that he did the same thing like that we've seen too many times throughout this postseason and this series. Like, he had one right in front of the net, and he tried to go for the cute pass. It might have been in the second period, but it was infuriating.
Yes, I think it was on a two-on-one almost. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and there was one also in the second period. They were on the power play, and he had the puck on the faceoff circle on the right side, on the right wing side, where he can, and he had a lane to shoot the puck. Even if it doesn't go in, maybe you get a rebound, maybe you get a scrum, whatever. He wouldn't shoot it. I don't know what his problem is. And the other thing is, last night, well, he didn't feel engaged to me. He didn't feel like he was, you know, when Marchand's engaged, he's taking the puck away from guys. He's putting his stick under there. He's being a complete pain in the ass. And even when he did have the puck, he wasn't getting away from people. Like, I don't know if he just wasn't into it or what. Or maybe there's a physical thing.
So let me give you another one who's been impeccable, but wasn't their night, was Sean Corrali.
Yeah, they had a tough night, the fourth line.
So they were a combined -3 because they were on the sheet. They were on the ice for that first O'Reilly goal, which, again, I would have loved to have seen Rask have that. But Corrali got beat on that faceoff to open up that scoring chance. And that, talk about setting a tone for the night. Corrali 1-for-12 on faceoffs in this game. And I think it was off here. You mentioned the matchups, how that sort of broke out in this game.
So, look, I think what happened last night is they got the first line of the Blues. They got Shen, they got Schwartz, and they got Tarasenko. So, all of a sudden, now I don't remember if they got them in game three or not. But is that a coincidence, that fourth line against the first line, and all of a sudden it's not working? And the Blues, by the way, essentially did the same thing. They put Sundquist, Barbashev up against the Bergeron line, and that line did squat. So, you know, which left O'Reilly to abuse the Krejci line,
which
as he did last night.
Ryan O'Reilly, 2 goals. I told you about that guy. He was going to show up in one of these games this series. He's too good of a player. Just one more guy that came back to earth statistically, Torrey Krug, -3. But again, the last 2 goals against was one on the bad change, one on the empty net. So, like, empty net's the empty net. Hard to hold that against you, although it is statistically. And the bad change, y'all came over the boards at the wrong time. It was a bad decision to come off at that point in time. The puck did not even get to the opposing blue line, and you all run off?
I mean, it was horrible.
The more I see it, the more I'm like, what were you doing there? Sean in Arlington on Zdeno Chara. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, fellas. I wanted to touch on it quick. I know you guys were saying it's a rare occurrence you see a person, you know, come sit on the bench when they can't play. But I think one thing we're overlooking is that regardless if he signed a one-year extension midseason, this could be his last season with the team, you know, Cup win or not. So if he realizes that he's injured so bad, he can't play again. Last night could have been the last chance he could be on the bench with his teammates. So I think he didn't want to pass that up. And whether he could or couldn't talk, he didn't want to not have opportunity to support his guys from the bench instead of from, you know, upstairs.
So I understand all that. And I understand that, I mean, maybe that's it. I think he's coming back and playing next year. He's already signed a contract. I don't think this is it for him. And I can't bring myself to believe that he wouldn't play if it was just a cut and dental work. Those guys play with cuts and dental work. So he would have played if that were the case. So, but he shields up and then is just there to have the camera hit on him for the third period and have everyone see him there not playing. It was just a weird optic that I don't think helped. That's all I'm saying. And the team didn't respond to it. So for whatever his intent was and where his motivations were, I'm not disputing that. I'm asking you, what was the effect of it? The team was not inspired. They shied away from contact more in that third than they did the whole game just about. So it just didn't work. We'll see where he's at physically. They're already talking about using 7D and bringing up Euro Vakanin. And Cassie never used the words, but he kept talking about young players never played, you know, young guys never in the Stanley Cup final. So something really interesting could be coming for Game 5. Interesting is one way to put it. We're mostly Bruins. We have had a couple side topics, a little Bruins breather. One is Maz's problem with Tom Terrific. We can circle back to that. I have another Patriots thought for you. We'll do that right after Murray's update, so don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Just a little Bruins breather, hitting on a couple other little topics. One is the other piece of Patriots news. They released another tight end today.
That is correct, yes.
So 2 weeks ago, their depth chart was Austin Seferian Jenkins, Ben Watson, and so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Matt Lacoste, Ryan Izzo, Steven Anderson, Andrew Beck.
Today, it's just so-and-so.
Correct. That is correct, yeah.
Watson suspended for the first month, and Seferian Jenkins didn't even not make it through training camp. He didn't make it to training camp. He didn't make it to minicamp.
Correct.
Which is why some people wonder why we don't spend a lot of time on the Patriots' offseason signings. Because, like, 75% of them don't make it to camp.
Yeah, they don't see the light of day.
Never mind through camp.
No.
So it's like you got it. That would be sort of wasted breath. You know, wait till you get to September, October to see who's on the team, and then maybe you can talk about him. But all these offseason signings. So, boy, all right, no tight ends. So just let's play with no tight ends. I'm sure they'll figure it out. It'll be fun to see how they figure it out. You know they're going to have something.
They're going to ground and pound.
Or run and shoot.
Yeah.
You know, run and shoot has no, it's a four receivers and a running back.
Yeah, right.
Is the run and shoot. Ground and pound, yeah, I thought you need multiple tight ends, but whatever. Just put some fat tackles out there and run the ball. Fine. I'm sure they'll have something. I'm sure no one will be able to figure it out. Like, they'll beat the Jets by 32 points, and they'll come out of the game, and Adam Gase will say, we weren't really expecting that no tight end thing. Well, Adam, you know they had no tight ends starting, like, back in June. Oh, yeah, well, you know, but... So I'm sure no one will figure it out. It's just going to see. It's going to be fun to watch how they could really have basically literally no players at a certain position and still probably kill everybody.
No, now that Gronk has gone, teams will prepare to jam him at the line on every play. Yeah, now that's what they'll do because they didn't do it for the 10 years he was here or whatever that guy was.
I'd stop pretending like it's going to matter. It ain't going to matter. It's just going to be fun to see how it plays out, how still no one's going to be able to figure you out. So as it stands right now, the Patriots have no tight ends, basically. Furthermore, today was the first day of mandatory minicamp. And Brady was there, right?
Yes.
Okay. You said he was there yesterday, but that wasn't really, I guess someone told me that was really like a charity thing or something. It wasn't like a team event. It wasn't a team practice.
That I can't speak to. I know Jeff Howard tweeted about it that he had showed up. He did his best buddies thing over the weekend as well. So
okay. Yeah. So
yesterday was maybe just him like working out at the stadium.
Yesterday I was led to believe he showed up for some sort of involuntary thing that he had not been showing up the last 2 years. I don't think that's the case. I think it was something else. I don't know. Just to sort of straighten that up from yesterday. Maz, you have a Red Sox thought.
I do. So I missed some of this again, but Alex Cora, I thought, had some interesting comments after the Red Sox beat the Yankees on Sunday night, okay, to avoid a sweep. So we've been knee-deep in the cup, and rightfully so. But Cora was asked, and this is number one, Billy. Cora was asked after the game how important a win this was. Okay, that's what he was asked. Here's what he said.
I mean, it's a good, keep getting better. They're good. They don't stop playing. They keep going. They keep grinding, and we just need to get better. You know, for us to get back into the thing, we need to clean a few things up. You know, we won today, but we know that we need to keep improving. You know, running wise, at bats wise, pitching wise, all over the place. We have to keep getting better.
Okay, so like he's asked, how big a win is this? And he says, we have to keep getting better. They're really good.
He refused to acknowledge the win.
And not only that, but he praised the Yankees in the process, right? So then the follow-up question to it was, and this is number two, Billy, the follow-up question to it was, well, you know, specifically the areas you're talking about, what are you looking for? Here's what he said.
Is there a highest priority in terms of stuff you want to get better as a team for that?
Consistency, yeah, and everything. You got to do that. They're doing that. You know, you can see it. You see it on the at-bats, the way they approach a game, everything they do. It's not cool to see, but it's impressive.
So he talks about them. Like, he's asked about the Red Sox, and he says that, well, watch them, watch what they're doing. And I get the feeling that Cora's looking at his own team going, do you guys see this? Do you see what's required, what is required to win here? Do you understand? They look like you look like last year. That's what they look like. They look like you look like a year ago. I don't know. I just found it interesting. And Ian Brown pointed this out to me of MLB.com. And I think he's right. Cora's asked about his team and his team's performance and what the priorities are in terms of getting better. And all he does is talk about the intensity of the Yankees and the dedication of their at-bats and how focused they are. He's pissed at his team. He's pissed. He feels like they're not focused. They're not locked in like they were a year ago, and he can't figure out why. That's what it is. It's their mindset.
And you agree with him, obviously.
I do, totally. But I find it interesting that he wouldn't bite on it. Like, it feels to me it's a little passive-aggressive, you know, rather than just saying, yeah, we need to do what they do. But he's asked about his team, and he starts talking about the Yankees. Like, I don't know. That just struck me as different for him. And I think he looks at the Yankees right now and says, we're 8.5 behind these guys, and if we don't get our asses in gear, we're never going to catch them. We're going to do nothing but smell the vapor coming out of their pinstripe pants. That's what we're going to smell. Oh, I think Cora is frustrated with his team's lack of focus and commitment.
Okay, a couple other items to chew on your phones, I promise, on the Bruins and everything else right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bruins turn it over, right circle, it's fired, blocked.
Hit Char in the face.
Oh, Char is down, lost his gloves in the far circle.
It ramped up and hit him in the face. He reached out to block that shot, and it ramped up and it caught him up high. He's bleeding pretty good from the nose, it looks like. Nose or mouth? Mouth, maybe.
Well, we clearly know we got a puck in the face. Very uncomfortable. Was advised not to return to play. Had some stitches, probably some dental work in the near future. He wanted to come out on the bench and be with his teammates. That's why he was out there. I don't know his status for game five.
So that's Cassie's reaction last night after Chara went down and came to the bench. Unusual sight for sure. Wish it would have inspired his teammates. If that was his intention, it didn't do it. And you've got to believe it's more than just uncomfortable. You know, the way Cassie just said it there too, like sort of lent to this.
Very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. Probably some dental work and some cuts. But the offshoot is that if it's uncomfortable and you got cut, you have dental work, you play. Like usually you play through that. So it has to be more than that. Has to be. I mean, you wonder if it's a broken jaw. And if it's a broken jaw, you know, that's pretty much it. That's usually it.
I mean, I think, I don't know that I've ever heard of a guy playing with a broken jaw. There's too much risk of contact, right? You can't protect that. How are you going to protect that? You can protect it from the puck and the sticks. How do you protect it from someone trying to smash your head through the glass? Like, I have to believe it's something like that. Or, you know, like a cheekbone fracture or whatever, right? It felt like he got hit here. Because I think the cut was on his butt, and obviously we're on the radio, but the bottom right lip, like that's what it looked to me like he was bleeding from, you know.
But if they wire it and put that Darth Vader helmet back on him, wouldn't you think he would play?
See, I don't know. I don't know if he can.
Not with a broken jaw.
I think it affects your breathing.
But why would you put the Darth Vader helmet on if you're never going to play? So the whole thing was just different.
Weird, yeah.
Okay, so like I'm just not used to seeing it. Either you take the cut and you lose teeth and they stitch you up and you go and play with the Darth Vader thing on. Or you go to the hospital and get your jaw wired or you're in the concussion protocol. And it's very rare that there's somewhere in the middle there. There is one exception. And that is sometimes guys to stay out of the concussion protocol will stay on the bench. Now, this I have seen. This is maybe what this guy was referring to in 2013 with Jonathan Toews. I've seen Bruins players do this, and Toews did this in 2013. You get concussed, and if you go to the tunnel, there's a concussion spotter to say, get over here, and now you're in the protocol. So sometimes players will stay on the bench to stay out of the protocol. Now, Chara went into the tunnel after he took the shot to the face, but... And again, I'm just totally guessing. I'm just saying.
No, I like this, so go.
Like, why would he be on the bench with that face gear? Because you almost never see that. That's just unusual. Were they playing games with some spotter? No, he just lost a tooth. No, he just got cut. He's going back out there. And then he goes back out there to stay away from the concussion spotter. He never has to go into the protocol. Just to guess. I don't know. I'm not even guessing that. I'm just telling you.
You're throwing crap against him.
Yeah, I mean, just, it's rare. You're either stitched up and you go back out and play. Or you're in the protocol, or you go get your jaw wired somewhere else. In the middle, he's there to support his teammates, but he can't talk. And the teammates clearly weren't responding because they went out and laid down in the third period. So it's not like there was some sort of any inspiration there. Either way, I think it's safe to say game five, I'd be surprised if he were out there at this juncture. So what do you do? They're talking about using 7D, not just bringing in Steve Kampfer, who's a... 4A player, been back and forth and up and down for years with you and previous incarnations as well, and does have some Stanley Cup experience, but he's just, just a guy. And I say it with all due respect. Or, and he's a right shot. You need a left shot. The next guy up on the left side is Juro Vakanainen, 20-year-old rookie, first round pick from a couple years ago, 18th overall, who they really liked this offseason. He was supposed to be a slower developing guy, or they thought he was going to be more of a project, going to be down the line. He almost made the team out of camp. Then I think he got hurt and sort of had a funky year. But this guy came along a lot farther than they thought. Interesting prospect. Can really make up for some of the whiffs they had at the draft that this kid can play. And he's sort of next up on the left side. 20-year-old rookie. You ready for this?
Cassidy's not afraid to do it.
I actually am ready for this. I am. I would rather have a 20-year-old kid who could potentially be great than a 4A guy who's been back and forth and I know what his ceiling is. And I know it's a lot to throw a guy into the middle of this thing, the middle of a Stanley Cup final when they're going a million miles an hour and taking each other's heads off on a nightly basis. It's a lot to ask for a guy who's got two NHL games fresh off, from playing in the Finnish League or the Swedish Elite League, wherever he was coming from there. That's a lot, but I would not put it back Cassidy, put him in there. And I frankly want to see him. I'd want to see him. Cassidy spoke about it today in St. Louis before the Bruins took off. They took off, I guess, about the same time we did. They slept over one more night in that godforsaken city too, Murray. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, the back end could have a domino effect, Steve, if listen, again, speculation. I hate doing this, but if we're out 2D, Grizz and Z, we might have to play seven defensemen. I mean, you're putting guys in there that haven't played a ton, so maybe we got to look at, okay, how does this best work out for us? We use a guy situationally to take Z's PK minutes if need be, another guy to match up, which of course would be, you know, reaching into an area where, you know, a young kid hasn't played in the playoffs at all for us, so we got to be careful there. 11 forwards, I think we can manage. We've used, you know, different guys, double shifted throughout the year. We've got some, so that part doesn't worry me as much as how's it going to affect a young guy coming in the lineup. Now we just plug a D in. It's worked well for us so far. So that could be the other option. I don't think we'll go any other route. We've gone this far, and that's kind of our options right now. We're contemplating. That's dictated by health right now.
Okay, so who's the forward that's out?
Backus.
Yeah, I would think it's Backus. He's looked like a liability the last couple of games, especially last night.
Team high six hits.
Ooh.
Big
deal.
Did
you notice him, really? Because when he's hitting guys, he's immediately getting blown up.
Oh, half the time when he hits guys, he's the one that ends up on his ass.
Well, so, you know, when you say six hits, like, any of them create a turnover, a scoring chance?
No.
Anything?
No.
I mean, it just feels to me like all he's doing is sort of slamming in people. You know, and again, one way or the other, either hitting or being hit, which again serves a purpose, I suppose. But at the end of the day, what are you really giving up? So it's either him or Achari. I mean, who else? You guys, Heinen.
So again, they see things in Heinen's quiet game that I don't. I don't think there's a chance that Heinen comes out. But I thought last night Heinen hurt them. I thought he sucked.
Okay, but again, Heinen or Backus?
I would keep Backus in and take Heinen if you're asking me, Coach Felger, but I know they would never do that.
I don't know. Heinen's okay in his own zone. It's everywhere else he sucks.
Yeah. Backus, to me, is the guy to go. And I love his, you know, I love his sort of makeup. I love all that, but he doesn't give him anything.
Okay, so what's the line? It's just Krejci and DeBrusque, and every fourth shift there's another right wing?
Yeah, pretty much. Pasternak one shift, he double shifts and he gets two in a row.
Johansson?
Yeah, then Johansson does it. Help, whatever you need to do. You want to throw Achari up there at some point? Not that, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do.
Yes,
fine.
Jim.
Would they throw Krug in a forward spot?
I doubt it given the situation on D.
Hasn't done it in a long time.
Well, and the other thing is, you're going to take another guy out of the D core now? Like, you know, I just don't see it. I mean, I don't think you can mess with the D core.
The back and iron thing I'm kind of into.
I'd like to see it too, but
I gotta
it's
tell you,
a horrible way to find out, isn't it?
They had him practicing Saturday.
Or a great way to find out.
Well, so, I mean, McAvoy jumped in without a problem
this
a couple
happens.
Years ago.
Go back to the late 90s. Craig Janney came right out of the BC and was in the Eastern Conference. Didn't he? Isn't that his first appearance in those playoffs?
Sounds right.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, sounds right.
Guys do it. So
did Claude do it with Krug in 13?
Yes. Yes.
He didn't play during the regular season.
He might have a little bit, but he was one of those late college ads in the season. So
the Rangers series, I remember him in. Yeah.
It's when he flashed.
Yeah.
So had he played a little bit before that, he might have, Murray. This is different. You're debuting in game 5 of a Stanley Cup final death match is what this has become.
Tied at 2.
An absolute, you know, battle scene is where he's going to be entering. So it's different than all these other examples, but I'm still not. It looks like they're going to do it. So anyway,
I don't mind it either. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know if, you know, it's a lot to ask a kid.
There's your reset on the Char thing. I promise. Write to your phones after Murray's 90-second up.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.